Okay, so we're going to discuss today the Haggadah. Specifically, what I'd like to focus on is Emunah in the Haggadah. How do we see the lessons of Emunah coming out from the Haggadah? After all, the mitzvah of Leil HaPesach, Leil HaSeder, is the mitzvah of going through the Haggadah. V'gadah bincha l'yom ha'hu l'aymor, is that our mitzvah is that we're supposed to tell over to our families the whole Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And as Haggadah tells us, and the Rambam tells us, Paskins, Cholamar b'Yetzias Mitzrayim or is a Meshubach. The more that you tell over, the more that you involve yourself in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harizim Meshubach, you are praiseworthy. This doesn't come off very often. We do not find this where we have a mitzvah and we pass and we say Harizim Meshubach. If you're marbe in the mitzvah, Harizim Meshubach. So we'll have to figure out why that is specifically by Leil Pesach, Leil Seder. We have this mitzvah where we continuously need to be marbe in the Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before we get to that, I'd like just to discuss for a moment the Yetzias Mitzrayim, its effects on Klal Yisrael. How come we're always talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Everything in our religion, many mitzvahs in our religion are connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say in Kiddush every Friday night, Kiyom Tichil Mekraya Kodesh, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? Kiddush is a Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have many mitzvahs that are connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Upon leaving Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael needed to leave at that moment specifically, because if they did not leave at that moment, they were on the Memtet Shari Tuma, they were on the 49th level of Tuma, and if they would have stayed there a minute longer, we would have been left forever. We wouldn't have been able to get out of this Tuma status that we had, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu had to do a Yitzia from the Mitzrayim in order to remove us from this Tumah. Now the question that I was bothered by, and actually saw on Shabbos, somebody asked, or Melech Biderman asked this question, and I always thought about this. What does it mean that we're on the Memtet Shari Tumah? How are we on a Memtet Shari Tumah if we didn't receive the Torah yet? I mean, what Tumah could we have given ourselves or gone into if we didn't have any mitzvahs in the first place? I mean, it's one thing if you have mitzvahs, right? Keep Shabbos, and then you break Shabbos. Keep kashrus, and you break kashrus. Wear tzitzis, and you don't wear tzitzis. Put on tefillin, and don't wear it. But here, you don't have, you're not breaking these mitzvahs because we haven't had them yet in the first place. So what's this Memtet Shari Tuma that we had to leave from?
Who asked the question?
Rav Elimelech Biderman. So he says as follows. It's based on I forgot which sefer. It's one of the Hasidic rebbes from Europe. I forgot which one it was, but I think he also asked this question. He gives a really beautiful answer that I saw yesterday, and he says that what does it mean to be in the Shari Tuma? It doesn't only have to be that you're violating mitzvos that you were given. It doesn't have to be that you were not doing some mitzvos that you had to be doing. When a person is involved in his day-to-day work, okay, and let's put us back in Mitzrayim, right? You're in the day-to-day slavery, and you're building bricks, and you're building pyramids, and you're doing all these things, right? And you're totally engrossed in physical labor the entire day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, then that's going to get you to Tuma because you're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your mind is not on any growth pattern. Your mind is not on any way of ruchnis, of spirituality, of a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was available even Kodem Matan Torah. We had the Abbas, we had Moshe Rabbeinu, we had Aaron, we had all these people that were very much connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Noach, right? We have all these people that were connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not being connected like they were, and being involved in your day-to-day grind, the daily grind, is going to bring you to a high level of Tuma just by the mere fact that you're not connecting yourself to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, what Yetzias Mitzrayim was, and the reason why we say it in Kiddush, every Kiddush, right? Whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom Tov, every single Kiddush is always Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, because there is a major connection between Shabbos / Yom Tov and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I think it's very important to understand this before we even get into the Haggadah. And that connection is as follows. The connection is as follows. The Yetzia of Mitzrayim is the Yetzia from a daily grind, from servitude, where we were not given the time to focus on our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Yetzia of Mitzrayim, which we needed to do right away before we got to a higher level of Tumah, was that idea of we're going to separate ourselves from the daily grind, from servitude, and we're going to now have time to focus on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what brings us up from Tumah and brings us into Tahar, into purity, is that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, much like a mikveh. A person dunks himself into a mikveh, right? So he's throwing himself into purity, and that's an idea. We have to just, the disconnect between the daily grind, between being busy and not thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then giving us time to think about Hashem, that's the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's exactly, he says, is the same idea of what Shabbos / Yom Tov is for us. Shabbos / Yom Tov is for us as a time we're able to also stop the daily grind. Okay, it might not be servitude and making bricks and being whipped by Egyptians, but at the end of the day, it's a different type of distraction that we're not able to have. We're not given available to us like we are on Shabbos. Meaning we could be involved in our work, if it's a job, if it's school, whatever it is, it could be something, but it's something that's a daily grind and distracts us, takes us away from our involvement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shabbos is a day of rest, it's a Yom Menucha, it's a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to stop all of your work, and then you're able to sit with me. You're able to sit at the table, you're able to sit and learn, sing zmiras, and spiritually connect to me. That is the connection, that is the connection between Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yom Tov also is that time where we're given times. The difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is just each Yom Tov has a different theme. It's a different theme, but the idea being is that we're stopping our work, it's also to do work on the Yom Tov, because we need the time to stop the daily grind and think about our relationship with the Kaddish. Yeah.
Well, no, like, you're saying the reason
okay, it's only going to go on your white total. Yes.
If you're saying like, the reason that it's because, like, the reason why we have to see Kiddush is because we have Shabbos and everything is because to change ourselves from the physical world. Like, what's the reason for Tefillin then? Because, like, Tefillin, like, you have, it says in Shema, okay, but then you still have Shema, you're still involved in many other things. Like, they're right. Not only physical, there's a lot of spiritual things.
Good.
You learn all day, you do other things.
Good. Like, so the Ramban says. The Ramban says, which I'm going to get to, the Ramban in Parshas Bo says this by Tefillin itself. He says that Tefillin serve us as a daily reminder of this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm just saying, Shabbos is a day, it's a 24-hour period. Yom Tov is a 24-hour period of total cessation from work and our being able to throw ourselves totally into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, and that idea, again, I want to stress this, even without the Torah, without the mitzvahs, is something just a yid, a person being able to spiritually connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what separates us. That's what we say, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, is that separates us, that ability that we have, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the thing that separates us, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. The Torah itself is what being a Jew is what separates us from the rest of the nation. There's an unbelievable story in the Holocaust of Kolzenberger Rebbe, Zatzal, asked the question, says, how could it be that we say, Asher b'chabana mikol ha'amim v'nasal lanu v'toraso? So how could it be that we're separate from all the other nations? He said in the middle of the Holocaust, he says, this is we're the chosen nation. We're sitting here being beaten. We're in hell on earth. And you're going to tell me that we're the chosen nation? How could this be? We've gone through all these pogroms, we've been through the Holocaust, right? We've been through many tragedies, Korban Bayis Rishon, Korban Bayis Sheni, right? And yet, we're Asher B'Charbanu, we're the chosen nation, so much so that we have this holiday of Pesach, where we're celebrating our exodus from Mitzrayim, to be a chosen nation. How are we a chosen nation? So the Kozel Vigor Rebbe said that Hagufa, he said that the biggest proof that we are Asher Bar Chabana, that we are a chosen nation onto ourselves, is the fact that we will never, ever do the things that the Goyim did to us. That's the biggest proof, he said. The fact that the Goyim are able to do something that's so animalistic, like the Holocaust, like kill other people for no reason, execute, exterminate women and children for absolutely no reason, and we're standing here being the victims, but as he said, I'd rather be the victim than be the perpetrator. Because a Yid would never be able to do such a thing. It would never enter a Yid's mind. Why? Because Asher B'chabar Mikol Amin. Because he took us out of Mitzrayim, he made us a holy nation unto himself. They're able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being fused with Ruchnius, that would never allow us to be able to do something like this. There was a story that, his name was Rasalman, I believe. He was in the Shoah, I don't remember which camp he was in, but just to bring home this point, which is this, the Leil HaSeder is a night where we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's separating us. So just to appreciate how far a Yid is from any Goy. So this Rasalman was, he survived the war, and as a miracle had it, as Kodesh Baruch Hu had it, that his camp was liberated on Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Unbelievable. Shvi'i Shal Pesach. He was liberated. And there were obviously, even though they were liberated on that day, they were starving and they needed food right away, so kind of for the fascists. So the Russians and the Americans liberated his camp. So a Russian captain took him to the bakery where they would bake all the bread for the camps, for the concentration camps. He took him to the bakery and they went into the bakery, and the Russian soldier said to this Yid of Solomon, go in there and take as much bread as you want. So he goes in with the Russian commander, he goes in, and the Ukrainians who were running the bakery said there's nothing left, everything was taken. So the soldiers didn't believe them, and he said, yes, come out. So they went out, he went into the back, and he saw it was filled with fresh bread. So the Russian commander gave this, Solomon gave the Yid his gun, and he said, I want you now go shoot each one of them. After all they've done to you in the Holocaust, after all they've done to you in these camps, and now they've lied, have the chutzpah to lie to you now, here now you can go take your revenge. Take my gun, and you could shoot each one of them. So Solomon says, I can't take that. That gun is used for killing another person. I can't go and kill these people. So the Russian soldier said, what do you mean? They killed your brothers, they killed your sisters, they killed your parents, you're not going to go kill them right now? He says, I can't. The Russian soldier couldn't understand it. He says, okay. So he takes the gun, and he goes and he kills each of the Ukrainians. He says, I'll do it for you. Now go take the bread. So Solomon went, and he went, and he took the bread. But the idea is that a Yid, who's seen everything, has seen his parents being killed in front of his eyes, and seen his whole family lost, still couldn't bring himself to kill somebody else, even though these people deserved it, and they were tied with the Nazis. It wasn't something that a Yid was able to do. That's what it means, Asher B'charbanu Mikol HaAmim, B'nasan Lanu Torah. So the Leil HaSeder is this celebration of removing ourselves from the Mem Tet Shari Tumah, and that we're a nation that's able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much so that we're totally different from anybody else. And that being said, I would like to go into the Haggadah itself, and to show a few parts of the Haggadah where we see this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah, not really much HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in terms of ourselves, where we see that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Emunah in Hashem. So if we go to the beginning, or basically to the beginning, where you have Avadim Ayinu, after the Ma'anishtana, Avadim Ayinu, the Pharaoh of Mitzrayim, took us out, again as we were talking about before, took us out of our Sharei Tumah, took us out of being a status of Avadim. And then the paragraph ends, the Balagada ends, it says, Ilu Lahotze Kadosh Baruch Hu, at Avotenu Mitzrayim, if Hashem would not have taken us out of Mitzrayim, Hare Anu Vaneinu Vaneinu Vaneinu, we all the generations, would still be Mishua Avadim Hayim Leparu Mitzrayim. We would still be serving Paro in Mitzrayim. So the question that many Mefarshim ask, what does that mean? Give me a break. Thousands of years later, we'd still be serving Mitzrayim, we'd be still serving Paro. And why does it have to be that Dafka HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself took us out? We find many times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has servants, has messengers, malachim. Why is HaGadah stressing that if Ilu Lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out, right, then we would still be Meshubah to Mitzrayim. So the Maharal asks this question, and he answers with a very beautiful idea. He says as follows. Maharal says, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to take us out. It's like we were saying before, that B'nai Yisrael were on the Memtat Sharim Tumah. They were not yet an Am onto themselves. Something of this magnitude, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to pick, Asher B'charbon is going to pick a whole nation that's going to be totally subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to nobody else, that he had to do by himself. That's such something that's so chashuv, that's so important, that the whole world is riding on, right? That if the Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the whole world would have been destroyed because there would be no point in the world continuing. Something so chashuv, so important, that Bnei Yisrael were going to be a new nation, that are going to be clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being leaving themselves from the Memtet Shari Tumah, and bring themselves up to a pure connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something that he had to do by himself. He didn't want to leave it to anybody else. So now that we know that, and that's the point that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out, we wouldn't be Meshubah to Paro, it doesn't mean that we'd still be slaves, you know, with ropes on our backs and carrying stones. It doesn't mean that. It means that we'd still be Meshubah to Paro, we'd still be Meshubah to something else, to something goyish, to some foreign idea, and not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out. Okay, which moves us on to the next part of the Haggadah. I think it's really one line, one idea that's really connects most of the Haggadah. And then the next part is the story where we have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. They were all mesubim b'bnei Barak, but you mesaber mitzias mitzvah kol otah halayla. They were talking about the sipur, the leaving of Mitzrayim the entire night, Ad Shabbat Tamidim, until the Tamidim came in, and they said, Rabotenu, our rabbis, he gives one Kriya Shema Shashachas. The time for Kriya Shema has come. Now, what's the importance of this story? A few questions that we can ask is, why did all these rabbis, Rabbi Elizabeth ben Azai, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, why do they all have to come together, gather together in Bnei Barak, Mesubim of Bnei Barak? They could have just as easily have stayed home. They could have been in their own Batei Midrashos. They had their own Chassidim. They had their own Tamidim. They didn't need to get together and come together in Bnei Barak. Furthermore, what was the importance of the Baal HaGadah telling us this in the story? The Tamidim came and they told them that Rabbeinu Giyazman Kriya Shema Shashacharis. The Baal HaGadah could have just given over the story and said, you know, they stayed up the entire night to tell us the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was the point of telling us that the Tamidim Dafka came into the room and said, Rabbeinu, Giyazman Kriya Shema Shashachas. What's the importance of that? And one last question is that the next paragraph in the Haggadah talks about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we know from the Gemara in Brachos, Harei Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, V'Zachiti Shetayama Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim Ba'Leilot, right? I wasn't able, I didn't know about the special mitzvah of Tzipo Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim at nighttime until Ben Zoma came and said, the Ma'am Tizko is Yom Tzitzkal Meretz Yitzhiyat Kol Yimei Chayacha, until he made that drush of Kol Yimei Chayacha, that there's a mitzvah of Zecher Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, not only during the day, but even at night. What's this connection? Why did the Baal Haggadah feel important to talk about the story of Rosh ben Azariah right after the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yekiva getting together in Bnei Brak? So again, I think the idea is as follows. Is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Leil HaSeder is this one idea of infusing in ourselves and in our children and our families the emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The total reliance that we have on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day life. And that's how we would grow and cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happened here? Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, they understood one of the following concepts. This is what I was telling John before, that it's really a Ramban in Parshas Bo. Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, in discussing the mitzvah of tefillin, asks the following question. He says, why do we have this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, twice a day? Right? And so many mitzvahs that we have are also Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have Sukkah, every Chag we're saying Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, as I said before, Kiddush is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so many mitzvahs that we have to fill in, so many mitzvahs that we have are all Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is this so important in our religion? That we have to remember Zeichel Yetzias, we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what bothered me, I was thinking, is also at the end of it, as further on in the Haggadah, we have this machlokas tanayim of how many nisim happened in Mitzrayim. Was it 40? Was it 50? And was it not just 10? And by Kriyas Yamsuf, was there 50? Was there 200? Was 250 nisim? What's the point of elaborating so much on how many nisim you're able to think of? It's like a contest. How many nisim can a person think about that actually happened, or nisim within nisim, miracles within miracles that weren't necessarily stated explicitly in the Torah? They're coming up with so many numbers. What's the point of that? So the idea being is as follows. The Ramban tells us on that mitzvah by tefillin at the end of Parshas Bo, he says the reason why we have the mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day and so many mitzvahs is inculcated into our religion so much, is he says the following line. You should remember this line forever. Mitoch anisim hagedolim, because remembering a Kadosh Baruch Hu through nisim hagedolim, then a person is going to remember the nisim haktanim. A person is going to remember a Kadosh Baruch Hu even for the day-to-day nisim. The nisim is small, quote-unquote, small nisim. What he means by that, it doesn't mean small nisim versus big nisim. It means nature is also a nis. But sometimes we forget that. And we're used to day-to-day grind, and we're used to taking things for granted. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that to happen to us. So we have a mitzvah to specifically remember Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, twice a day, because it has to be ingrained in us, otherwise the Yetzer Hara is going to cause us to forget. Day-to-day grind is going to cause us to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in our day-to-day nisim. Waking up in the morning, being able to walk, being able to see, being able to speak. Every single thing is a nis. The trees growing, the rain coming down from the sky. Every single thing, our parnasa, our paycheck that we get every month, is all, for me, I guess. Even that's it's a small nis, but it's a nis. But every single thing that we get in our lives is a nes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that has to be inculcated into us, ingrained in us from the very, very, very first day, and when we begin to do mitzvos throughout the rest of our lives. Because otherwise we run the risk of forgetting it. And that's why Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Elizabeth Azari, they got together in Bnei Brak, because they wanted to get together so they'd be able to tell over the story, each person with their own koach, with their own mind, with their own brilliance. And the more they tell it over, the more emunah they're going to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only on Leil HaSeder, but it's going to bring them for the rest of the year, for the rest of their lives, they're going to be able to be ingrained with this emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more they see the Yad Hashem in the story, the more ingrained the emunah is in them. So they thought the best way to do this is to meet together, their best minds will meet together in one place, and they'll share each other's Torahs, and they'll share each other how many nisim, that's the Hemshech, the continuation of the Haggadah, when they're trying to expound how many nisim happen each time in each makkah or in the Kriyas Yamsuf itself, how many nisim came, it wasn't just a numbers game, it wasn't a contest, but with each nes that they're able to conjure up based on their brilliance in expounding on the psukim, the more emuna they have in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because they see the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu on that night, and it'll help them for the rest of the year. Now that's why I think that the Baal Haggadah ends and says that the Talmidim came in, they said, Higiyas man Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. Because now you've reached the pinnacle. What's Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis? What do we do at Kriyas Shema? We say, Shema Yisrael Shema Kin Hashem Echad. We're Ma'achay, we make a Kadosh Baruch Hu one. And we make him that Hayahova Biya, he's always involved in our lives. That's the pinnacle of realization of a Kadosh Baruch in our day-to-day lives. Higiyas man Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. And that's why the Baal Haggadah continues with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I mean, it's directly connected to the fact that they got together in Bnei Barak. They got together to appreciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which the pinnacle in davening is Shema. And that's why that brings us to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where he says, oh, the mitzvah of Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim is not only one time a day, it's twice a day. Again, this idea is that I'm going to take this idea of Leil HaSeder, that we have to ingrain ourselves the Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to bring it to the day-to-day life. And now I'm going to, the Baal HaGadah brings this explanation of the fact that our mitzvah of Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim is twice a day. And that brings us to the pinnacle of Amuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to end with one more story, with the Kozenberger Rebbe again, is another beautiful story. This idea that the Leil HaSeder is supposed to take us out and bring Amuna into our lives on a day-to-day, just to show how our leaders had tremendous Amuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kozenberger Rebbe was very, very mocked, but even during the Holocaust, that he was able to hide his own little pot so he could cook his own food on Pesach, and he wouldn't take anything from the Nazis that had a mashu, anything of chametz. Even though it was sakanas nefashos, for sure he was able to eat up, he did. He wanted to live in a higher level, so he hid a small little pot that he would cook his potatoes in, and he wouldn't have to worry. But one day they were taken by surprise in the Shvi'a Shel Pesach Derabanan, the last day, like a Yom Tov Sheni. The last day they were taken by surprise, and they were taken to fields to gather stones. And he didn't have any food with him. It was like, Giyah Ad HaNefesh, it was like he was going to faint. He didn't have his potatoes that morning that was going to keep him over. And a fellow worker said to him, Rebbe, I have some potatoes of my own, take it, you know? So he said, I can't take it because I didn't cook it myself. I'm very, very careful that there's no chametz. I don't consume any chametz. So he said, the Kozenberger Rebbe said to himself in his own mind, but come on, it's Shvi'a Shel Pesach, it's Yom Tov Sheni already by this point, it's only Derabanan, this is Sakaras Nefashos, let me just take the potatoes of this guy. But he caught himself at the end, he was about to take, and says, no, I lasted this long without eating anything questionable, I'm not going to do it today. And he says, I'm not taking it, thank you very much, but I'm not going to take it. And he literally was almost about to faint. And he looked in the distance in the field and he saw it was a radish. Or some vegetable, whatever, that was in the greenery. That was like under animal hay or fodder, whatever it was. And he was able to take it. He cleaned it off. Washed it, cleaned it off, whatever, with his clothes. And he was able to eat it. And he said, till the day he died, he said the sweetest food he ever ate was that radish I ate in the middle of the Holocaust in the field that he was able to be able to go through at all of Pesach without eating anything that was questionable. And this is what the Munah does to a person. Munah does to a person that first of all, tremendous is obviously a very high level, but to live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu every single day is something that doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from chinuch and it comes from constantly working on ourselves, and that's what the Leil HaSeder is doing for us.